Buenas tardes. ¿Cómo estás? Es un placer para estar con ustedes. Good evening. How are you all? It's great to be with you this evening. I can do the rest in Spanish if you like, but I'll stick to English, I think. It's a pleasure to be with you this evening. Apologize that Gemma is not here with me. She's in Leeds with Matthew, a good friend of ours who you saw on the video from Lister Hill Church. He got baptized today, and Matthew was desperate to go and be there to watch him get baptized. So Gemma and Matthew went to Leeds last night to see him. Susie is at home with Nana. I'm thankful that she's not with me this evening. She chose at the last minute to come with me to mourn this morning. Sat at the back of the pulpit with Susanna. And yes, you know it, with a five-year-old daughter. Daddy, I need a wee. I swallowed my pride and I took her to the bathroom because I thought what else could happen was worse than taking her to the bathroom and looking a bit foolish, going out again. But first of all, I want to thank you so much for your support for us as a family. It's been 4 years since we left the UK. We spent 1 year in Costa Rica learning Spanish, and we've just come back from 3 years in Mexico, and we just want to thank you so much to hear the comments that people make on Facebook and emails and different things that we get mean the world to us. And that's the thing that we miss the most about being away from the UK, is our friends and family. And it's always a pleasure to hear from you. And even a little like on a photo for us to then look and see who liked the photo means the world to us. I know Facebook can be a curse as well, so I'm not promoting Facebook wholeheartedly to the younger generation. But for us, it's been a real blessing. When you think of Mexico City, you hear of the bad things, the drugs, the crime, pollution you may have heard of as well recently in Mexico City. Just to try and help you to imagine what Mexico City is like, geographically it's roughly the size of Northern Ireland. So just trying to work that one out. So if you drive from here to Colerain, Port Rush, and then that's driving across the city of Mexico. Roughly there's 21 million people living there. I Googled this morning. So for those of you who are football fans, Windsor Park holds about 18,000 people. So you can get almost 1,200 Windsor Parks in the number of people there are in Mexico. So that's mind-boggling that. For us, though, yes, there are problems with crime, but the biggest problem in Mexico City is that people don't know Jesus. Less than 1% of the population claim to be Christians. And when you think about those numbers, you're talking about 20 million people who don't know him. But the biggest problem is the Catholic Church in Mexico, the teaching that they have. They teach that basically God doesn't like you. And when you do wrong, God hates you even more. And the one thing that liberates people, and liberates people here, liberates people in Mexico, is knowing that they can have that relationship with Jesus, knowing that they don't need to go through a priest, knowing that they don't need to pray to the saints, pray to Mary, pray to whoever. They pray to pretty much anything in Mexico City. And it's so sad to see. In this photo, you see top left-hand side, this lady on her knees is worshipping an image of the Virgin Mary. And that's the daily life of the Mexicans. They don't know that there's another way. And how will they know unless people tell them? One of the things that has been difficult for us as a family has been one of the other things linked with the Catholic Church. They believe that on the 1st of November, if you were an adult and you passed away, that you prepare a meal for that adult in your home, and that adult will then come, their spirit will come into the home on that day. And then on the 2nd of November, they do the same for children, any children that passed away in the family, and they believe that the spirit of that child will come back into that home. And obviously, I'm sure you're thinking, where does it say that in Scripture? It doesn't. So there's a real darkness in Mexico City, a real darkness, and unfortunately, it mainly comes through the church. For Gemma and I, we left the UK 4 years ago knowing one thing, that God had called us to Mexico. knowing that God had called us to serve the Mexican people. In what way? We didn't have a clue. When we got to Costa Rica, God really showed us that our heart, our desire, our passion is getting alongside those in leadership. In Costa Rica, it was the language school, the teachers, the people leading the language school. And for us, it was so sad to get alongside them and realize that very few people asked them how they were doing, looked after them. They received all sorts of complaints from the students. Their teaching wasn't good enough, that they weren't giving high enough grades and things like that. And yet, they had hardly anybody looking after them. And that's where we developed, that's where God developed that heart, that desire to care for people. So when we got to Mexico and we were asked, what would you like to do? It was pretty easy for us. Can we get alongside the leaders in the churches, support and encourage them in the work that they're doing? I'm sure for those of you involved in Christian leadership, you know it's a pretty lonely place at times. And we were offering that support in Mexico. But for us as well, linked into that was just getting to know people, asking them how they were. And that friendship for us, much rather be having a cup of coffee with you right now rather than stood in front of you like this. Because that's where you can talk to people, you can really hear how they're doing and know how to care for them. As teachers, primary school teachers, as we both are, working with children is something which we really enjoy, and we've had that opportunity too. One of the pastors that we've got alongside is a man called Pascual. One of the things that we tried to do that I felt prompted to do when we got there, there were probably 30 different leaders that we were working with, and every month they had a meeting, a prayer meeting. So the first meeting, I walk into this room with 30 Mexicans all looking at me, and it's like, oh goodness. But how am I going to get to know them? How do I get to know them? And really, how do you get to know anyone? And I felt God prompt me and say, ask them how you can pray for them. So for each one, I didn't do it very robotically like I'm saying, but basically I went round and asked them how they could pray for them. I wrote that down because I couldn't remember all of them. I wrote them down, tried to remember them. And then each time I saw that person, I would go up to them and ask them related to what they had asked me to pray for. Pascual was one of those men. And when I asked him, how could I pray for you? He told me he was given 6 months to live. And when you hear that as a prayer request, it sort of knocks you back a bit. And I prayed for him. And I met him up with him once a month. We had a cup of coffee. We ate tacos. And we talked together and prayed together. And then as time went on, Gemma and I met up with him and his wife, Lulu. You can see hugging Gemma there in the corner. And we work with them together. One of the brilliant things for Gemma and I is that we have the same heart, that same passion to get alongside people, to get alongside the leaders. We believe very strongly for those in leadership, it's not just about the man. It's not just about the husband. It's about the whole family. So when we see people, we're asking them, how is their family? Based on the principle that you can only serve God when your own relationship with him is good, when your own family is good, to be able then to reach out and touch and work alongside the people that God's called you to. That's the desire that we've had, that we still have. We still have here as we meet up with leaders and ministers and pastors here is, how are you? But when you ask it, to really mean it. For us, you saw in the video about Carrie, Lorena and Sophia. If we do nothing else in our time as Christians, as missionaries, but to be part of God used us to lead those three people to know him. And for us, that's our job done. It's about one person at a time. It's about one person getting alongside them. I've now inherited two daughters, two teenagers. So maybe it's preparing me for life with Matthew and Susie and the baby on the way for what life would be like with teenagers. But that started with asking Carrie how she was. She was Susie's teacher at school. And then as time went on, we got to know them. They became part of our family. We shared life with them, and they shared life with us. And they asked us, why is there something different about you? And through that, we were able to share with them about God, about Jesus, Carrie is a single mum. Her husband left her for a younger woman. And because of that, the Catholic Church basically told her she wasn't welcome in the church because of it was her sin that left made that marriage fall apart, which was not the truth. But that damaged her immensely. But for her to hear that she could have that personal relationship with Jesus was the first time that she had ever heard that. And she just, how do I get that? And we were able to share with her how she could do that. And we thank God today that she's in his family. And some of you may know they came over to the UK, Carrie and her girls and another family, and they spent time here in Northern Ireland and also in England. And for me, it's to see the ripple effect that God used us to work in their lives, but to see them as they work in other people's lives. They have already brought friends to Christ, family members of Christ. It's just amazing to see. Another lady that we've got to know is Jessica. And again, this is not something that you can orchestrate. It's something that's just been open to God. We took the children to swimming classes, and Jessica was there with her daughter. And we just started talking. And again, how are you? And she burst into tears because she was really struggling with her family, with her father and with the business that he had. And just before we left in May, she came to the house and brought baby clothes for the baby that's on the way. And again, she was just asking us to pray for her. For a Catholic Mexican to ask you to pray is a really big step. And that was something which we were able to do with her before we left. For us working in La Loma Church, as you saw on the video, it's in a really deprived area of the city, but we just have really enjoyed working there, being there, serving there, getting alongside the Mexicans. We've both been involved in teaching the Sunday school. I worked with the teenagers, and for me, unfortunately, the education system in Mexico, you're taught that the teacher's always right, which of course the teacher is always right, but you're not to question. You're not to have your own opinion. You just accept what the teacher says, and that's it. So then I would be asking them questions the first week, thinking, I've got teenagers, they'll tell me, not a word. And again, with them to see that the thing I saw is they all need that love of Christ. And for me to try and get to know them, to ask them how they were, to pray for them. And one of the most amazing things for me is when I would ask any of them to pray, it took a while for them to pray, but every single time I asked them to pray, they would always pray for me first when they prayed. And that for me was always such a blessing that they were praying for me. And again, for us, it's hard to be here because really our heart is in Mexico. It's lovely to be back in the UK, but our heart is there with Carrie and the girls, with those pastors and with the Sunday school's classes in La Loma. For us, God's calling for us is in Mexico. God's calling for you may not be in Mexico, but the most important thing is that you are doing what God wants you to be doing, where he wants you to be doing. And just to encourage you tonight, that have you really asked God, what is your purpose? What are you called to be? Where are you called to go? Now, the problem with asking that question is God might answer you and tell you, stay where you are. Be Christ to those people. No, I want you to go there. But be open to God's leading. Because one of the things in the first slide that we've seen is that we've been in so many different situations. I've been more uncomfortable in the past 4 years than I've been in the previous 30 years. Because I was put in places, environments where I wasn't sure really what was going on. But every time, God was there. And he helped us to do things which, to eat foods which don't really know what that is, but I'm going to eat it anyway and smile, to get alongside people whose Spanish is some of the worst Spanish I've ever heard. I can't really understand what you're saying, but I'm going to try and to pray for somebody who's really in a difficult situation and not really sure you have the right words in Spanish. But the number of times that God has been able to work through us, and it's about making ourselves as Christians open to him. Pray for Pascual. They're missing us. We get messages from Facebook. When are you coming back? We need to meet with you. We need a coffee. for Carrie and Jessica, again for Carrie and the girls. They went back to Mexico on such a high because of the experience they had coming, sharing with people here about their testimony. But pray that they will be able to do that. Pray for us as a family. Pray for Gemma, 6 months pregnant, and she's doing really well. Baby's doing well, but just keep praying that everything works well in that respect. For us, there's a financial need. For us, we are completely self-funded to go to Mexico. Any money that we use, we've raised ourselves by sharing our ministry, by sharing what we're doing. And at the moment, we have got a shortfall of about £1,000 a month or £12,000 a year, whichever way you look it up. We've just got on the screen there the different costs that we have that you don't have here. We have to pay for school. We have to pay for medical care that we have out in Mexico. And there's other things as well. And just to ask the question and just say, would you be willing to join us to be part of the team to help us to be to serve God in Mexico? You can do that in all sorts of different ways. We've got prayer cards that explain that. To sign up to support us, £5 a month. £1 million a month. Now, that would be really good. But five, we'll cope with a five. Or to sign up to support us yearly. We really want to be back in Mexico fairly soon after the baby is born, mainly because Matthew's really struggling with the adjustment of being back in the UK and wanting to be in Mexico with his friends. We would really love him to be able to go back to his friends. But OMS, our mission organization, say they want us to be 100% funded before we leave. What that means isn't that we've got all the money in the bank account. It means that they have got lists of people who have pledged to support us, to encourage us. And we know that there are many people here who are doing that for us. And we want to thank you, want to ask you, will you keep supporting us, because we're going to be going back for at least another 2 years. And God will lead us the rest of the way. But please, to pray about that. And just, if God's leading you, please speak to myself or to my dad or to other people who know what to do. John and Joan, who are not here this evening, but they're a great support for us. You can speak to them. Okay, the bit I like. I asked God what he wanted me to share with you this evening. And it was very clear to me. Stephen read the verses from Matthew. And I want to encourage you, if you have a Bible with you, to have a finger in two different places. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 onwards, or 37 to 40. And John 3, 16 and 17. Now, you may be saying, we know these verses. We don't need to look them up. I know them off by heart. And really the challenge for you is, maybe you've read it 1,000 times, but to ask God tonight, what do you want me to learn from these verses tonight? John 3:16. For God so loved the world. There's a really important word in that sentence. So. Now, have you ever imagined what that so looks like? For God so loved the world. I could say, I so love my children. What does it look like? What does it mean? Big love. Whatever that looks like. Unfortunately, the word love in modern society can mean all sorts of different things. I love chocolate. I love the cinema. I love Mallorca. I love Mexico. But love, the way God intended it, means commitment. There's a price to it. There's a cost to it. It's not just a little feeling that you might have. It's not just a little feeling. For those of you who are married, the word love, feelings don't last very long. It comes down to commitment. It comes down to promise. It comes down to, this is what God wants. And God sent his Son into the world so that we would not perish. When we know God's love, what's our response to him? And those verses in Matthew, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with with all your mind. Another small word, all. What does all mean? Does all mean I just come to church on a Sunday? You know what? I go to both services, so I'm doing pretty well. But Monday, I live life how I like. Saturday night, Friday night, out with my friends, do what I like. But I'll go to church on Sunday, I'll be okay. That's not what love means. That's not what God intended for us. As his people, he's called us to love him. My favorite expression to describe it is reckless love. His reckless love for us, that he would send his son to be a man, to die on his cross, to die on a cross, so that we could have a relationship with him. He wants that from us. And then linked to that is to love other people. And for me, you can only love other people when you love God. It's very interesting that that's the order it comes here. The first commandment and the second commandment. The first is to love God with all of who you are. Every single bit. It's not this nice little box that's on a Sunday. It's not this nice little box that's Boys Brigade. It's not this nice little box that's whatever it means to be. It's every day, every second of the day. Am I giving God all of who I am? When it comes to loving others, I've put this picture up for you. This is a man called Erasmo, who I met a few years ago. He lives on the streets in Mexico City. He cleans people's windows to make money. He came on a camp that was organized, and I got to know him. And I asked him to tell me his story. And he told me how he was abandoned as a child, how he lived on the streets to get by. He would do anything to earn money, but then he would use all the money on drugs. And the drugs that he took damaged his body. He's 25, and he has a colostomy bag that he has to use all day, every day. And he said to me, I'm so angry with myself because of what's happened. And that was hard to hear. But then he said, how can God love me because of what I've done to myself? People need to know God's love. Erasmo in Mexico City is a nobody, especially to the rich, because he lives on the streets. They have no rights, they have nothing, and the rich treat them like the dirt on their shoes. For Gemini, as we go out to reach people, nobody's a nobody. Jesus loves everybody, and he wants us to love them. If I saw Erasmo in the street, if you saw someone like Erasmo, there's plenty of people living homeless here in Northern Ireland. Do we love them too? Is there anybody tonight that's in your world who's unlovable? Who you're like, I cannot stand spending time with that person. That person in my class at school. Nobody likes them. That person, they're always angry. But God has called us to love other people. And sometimes that means putting to one side what we want. Doesn't mean all of the time. And unfortunately, I've learned that the hard way. You can't love people. You can't always do things for other people all of the time. There's a time where, like Jesus did, Jesus went off to pray when there were thousands of people that needed him. But he chose to go off because he knew he needed to have his time with his Father. And if we're serving too much, we're no use to anybody. We need that time with Jesus. But I encourage you tonight, how do you love those people around you? Maybe somebody's come to your mind, somebody who you struggle with for whatever reason. Love them. Love them like Christ loved them. Look at people through Christ's eyes. What does that look like? Christ loved every person he met, especially those who were the bottom of society. Who do you need to love tonight? For Gemini, a number of the contacts that we've had through carrying through Jessica has just been about being available to God to be used. I think the world would be a better place if each morning we woke up and asked God, who do you want me to talk to today? Who do you want me to get alongside today? Who do you want me to love today? Rather than looking at ourselves, we can actually look to the needs of people around us. In Mexico, there's broken, hurt, lost people. There's lost people in Coquille too. It's not about where you go. It's about where you are and what you're doing for God. I want to encourage you to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. One of the things that people do when they read John 3:16, they forget about John 3:17. God doesn't condemn people, and neither should we. So for those people who to the society are condemned, love them anyway. One of my favorite songs is by a guy called Tim Hughes, and it has the words, "We must go. Live to feed the hungry, stand beside the broken." Sometimes it means feeding the hungry, but mostly it means stand beside the broken. Is there anyone in your life who's broken, who needs that love that Christ has given us that we can share with them? Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your love for us tonight. We thank you that you so loved us that you went to the extreme of sending your son to die for us. Father, help us to love you the way you loved us. Help us to love you unconditionally with all of who we are. And as we love you, we love those around us. Help us to love the unloved. Help us to love the unlovable. Help us to be you wherever we are. Help us to be filled with compassion for those around us. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us, and we thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.